To advertise on Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more, with 24/7 exposure and online exclusives. Email editor at urbanmediatoday.com or call 412-424-7045.
Soul Tape.
The champions live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host, Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, champions live sports talk show. Coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, each and every week, bringing you any and everything you need to know in the world of sports. And you know, we have a motto around here, gentlemen: what we don't know, we make up. So we can't miss anything in that regard. Glad to be here with you today. There's a lot of stuff jumping off. We want to get to all of it. But I got to tell you right now, we've got some very special guests in the studio tonight. And that is relative to something very special going on here in Pittsburgh on Saturday. It is the annual Penn State, I'm a little scared to play Pitt, versus Pitt. I said that all wrong. Let me
you said a lot wrong, Bill, because you're talking annual, and I believe I believe after next year, Penn State is saying we don't want to play you.
Let me go back. We're joined by two very special guests relative to a special event that's going to be going on here in Pittsburgh. The occasionally played Pitt-Penn State game that's going to be jumping off in Heinz Field. So we want to welcome to the show today by way of New Jersey.
That's what it is.
Pitt University's Reggie Smith. And Reggie looking like he can still take a few people out of the game if necessary. And I understand. Matter of fact, I'm glad the big fellas are here today. You know, Kevin and Mark, the guy out in the waiting room, you know, they always have some issues about the guys that do all the heavy lifting, but I don't think I'll have any trouble with kickback today. But we're also joined by Chris Thorpe by way of Fox Chapel, Penn State University, joining us. And we're going to have some interesting conversation about the Penn State game and talk about all that. Now, and I got to remind, maybe I don't have to remind local listeners, but to the national audience, that's Chris Thorpe of the legendary Thorpe family, man, because them Thorpes, are y'all related to Jim Thorpe? And that's a serious question.
Like somewhere they say.
You would have to think.
That's what they say.
You would have to think because you're the only Thorpes I know. Yeah. So it's not like it's a super well-known name. But, man, all the guys in your family were accomplished athletes. All the women in your family are beautiful. I mean, just the Thorpe legend continues on. But before we get started, guys, you got to do me a favor. Now, Chris, do this for me. Just do this. Just say, Bill, you're right.
Bill, you're right.
Okay, just hold that thought. Now, Reg, I want you to do me a favor. Just say, Bill, you're right.
Bill, you're right.
All right, now, with that having been said, Kevin, do you see how easy it is for somebody to say, Bill, you're right? Well, apparently you have a hard time putting those three words together, so I wanted you to see that other men can do it.
See, they're invited guests, Bill. You have to understand that. So they're trying to be polite, but I'm pretty sure once we get into the meat and potatoes of what we will for the show, things will change quickly.
Well, in case you're wondering, why they needed to say and why we're asking Kevin to say, Bill, you're right, is because, let me just say this.
Now, check this out, fellas. Let's listen to what Bill is about to say. Well, now, I'll have a proper response, as I always do.
I just want to just set the record straight. So in the last Steeler preseason game, I'm sure you guys saw the game, the moment Dobbs hurtled in for that touchdown, I immediately text my partner and said, Landry Jones is gone. Write that down. Now, admittedly, rarely but not often, I've been wrong on this show. But clearly, my co-host believes that he's never been wrong. So he bounces back to me, no established veteran that hasn't played in the last game of the preseason is in danger. He's not going anywhere. Landry Jones is gone, and for good reason. He's the third best of the three remaining quarterbacks, and now they move Dobbs to backup. Come on, man. Talk to me.
Well, as always, Bill, depends on what day it is. Normally, every day you change your clothes, right? You have on different clothes every day. So that's the way it is with your opinions, man. Depending on what day that you wake up, or the day that you wake up, I should say, you have a different opinion. Fellas, he came in here last week talking about Ben Roethlisberger endorsed Landry Jones.
I didn't endorse him. Ben endorsed him. Therefore,
he stated that was the reason that I think you said he was penciled in. It was a done deal. He said it during the show. Okay, so if he goes on record during the show and changes his mind a day after the preseason game, that doesn't count. All right, because we're predicting who would make the team or not. So if you're predicting something, you can't. I mean, once it happens, it's no longer a prediction. Am I right, fellas?
It wasn't a prediction.
It was a prediction.
I endorse what
you waited until the game was over. Okay? So things could change based on performance.
Well, I can tell you this. I bet you that's what happened.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened.
Now let's do something.
And the Steelers should be given a lot of credit because the Steelers are expressing to everyone, you need to earn your position.
Hold it.
Nothing is done.
Hold it. They need to be off on another lane. And real quick, Rez, while you're here, you agree with me on all things.
See, all right, that's what I'm saying.
Rez, I got you here, and I'm your way back. So just be clear on that. Now, Kevin, did you or did you not say Landry Jones was safe and he wasn't going anywhere after the game? All right. I didn't change my mind based on a prediction that I made. And I'm here to tell you.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I did.
Fellas, it would be like sitting there during the 2016 presidential election and saying before the votes came in that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And then in the middle of the election, when you saw the electoral votes and everything that was going on with the key states and everything, for you to say, well, I knew Trump was going to win.
Apples and oranges.
Okay,
like
no,
apples and oranges like you normally present. And you
Bill,
said,
you can't win this one.
Allow me to finish. You said,
a prediction is a prediction.
I did not predict it. I simply stated that Ben was comfortable with Landry Jones. Let me finish. And endorsed his being kept. Now, I said during the course of the game, and I probably did the same thing that Tomlin and the whole Steeler operation
did. Hold on.
But Ben, listen to me. But Ben has endorsed Landry Jones.
Thank you.
Ben has endorsed him because that's the guy that's been carrying the clipboard for him. That's the guy he feels comfortable with going to the sideline to pick up on this, that, or the other. And that's going to be your number two quarterback. So if you have four quarterbacks and you got to let one go, it's going to be Dobbs. And their future is in Rudolph.
That is not my voice. That is not my
voice.
Did
I bust him, fellas?
I don't know.
Did I bust him? Let me just tell you this. I don't know how Kiki did it.
You see what I'm saying, fellas? You see what you're in store for. Ladies and gentlemen, the ones that are listening, I played our show from last week, and Bill Neal is busted. See, this is the great thing about technology.
As you know, I've had concussions.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, things come. Look, welcome to the show, man. Disregard everything you heard up until now.
Hey, just say you didn't say it.
I don't remember, Chris.
It wasn't me.
That's what Trump does.
That's what Trump does.
Yeah.
That works for him.
That's the American way now, right?
Everybody in this room has had a concussion.
Yeah.
You know, you can sometimes stuff come and go. But listen, on a serious tip, Gene, Chris, well, see, that's another Thorpe brother. Welcome to the show, man. We see each other regularly down here.
Yeah, that's right.
So tell our Pittsburgh listeners and all everybody across the country, you know, what you're doing now since you're Penn State. Matter of fact, let's go back. After your playing days at Penn State, what preceded that?
After my playing days at Penn State, I went to work for the NFL for a year. I worked for the Indianapolis Colts in their public relations department. So I worked there for a while, and then after that, I went back. I finished up my master's in communications, and I started a cable TV company. And we've been doing that now for about 26 years.
Good Lord. Yeah. Good Lord. That's so you were on the ground with some stuff.
We were on the ground when it first, we were competing against back then TCI, different companies like that that most people wouldn't even know the names of. We were one of the first private cable companies out there when the FCC basically changed a lot of the actual legislation. We were there and we kind of took advantage of it. So we were able to compete against the big boys, but only in like the multi-dwelling units. So your apartment buildings, hospitals, large complexes.
So 26 years running.
Yeah.
Something's been going right.
It's not bad. You know, ups and downs is everything, but it's we've been blessed. It's gone well.
So let's go back to the playing days at Happy Valley.
Man.
The home of the greatest pancake house in the world. Reg, I know we got Pamela's in the spot down on Forbes, but man, that place up at Penn State.
The Waffle House. They line up.
They start lining up on Thursday for us.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I'm happy that you don't know this about me, Chris, but I'm proud to tell you that I have the distinct pleasure of being told by Joe Paterno as we sat in the locker room on my visit that I am, in fact, not good enough to play here. So that's my Penn State trip for you. Bill, thanks for coming. Can't use you. But how was your playing days, man? Did you have a great run? Did you have pro opportunities?
I had a great experience up there. My end of my sophomore year, I fractured my neck, and I was done. But Coach Paterno was fabulous. He stuck with me. Paid through, you know, paid college all the way through, paid grad school all the way through.
Amazing.
And so nothing but respect for him and a lot of the coaches there at that time. So for me, it was a tough road. But still, you know, I was still able to get everything out of it, I think, that I needed. So now it's nice that there's another Chris Thorpe up there.
Yeah.
It's kind of extending the whole legacy. So it makes it nice.
So that's not something that happens routinely, that's for sure.
Yeah.
An injured player is sometimes set adrift. So it speaks to the real Joe Paterno.
Absolutely.
That we all, many of us, knew and loved and appreciated for all that he stood for. Talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind. And not in detail, but just the overview of you know, how all that ended. I went on record here and even in my articles in the Courier by saying, to this day, I just don't believe Coach Paterno knew what other people wanted to insist that he knew. But your overall position.
Yeah, I mean, my overall thought on it, you know, is that, first of all, we'll never really know. But I think it's a lot more involved in what, you know, the press and everyone else has probably said. It's did he know? I don't know. I don't think, you know, knowing his character the way that he was, you know, you don't judge a man by, you know, a single incident or a single moment. I think you have to look at the breadth of him and say, you know, over a period of time, what's his character? And I think his character has always been that of much respect. I think, you know, I don't think he knew. Somebody knew, though. somebody knew what was going on. And I think that's the more interesting part. But if you read the documents, you know, what they say was happening inside the showers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you – the court – no one ever saw that.
All hearsay.
It's all hearsay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean – what do you do in that situation? I don't know. But well, it was a great experience.
Yeah, and
Sandusky was my coach. Okay. But I'm okay.
Okay.
I ain't touch that.
Give a follow-up, Kim. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, was there anything that just seemed strange about him?
Absolutely not. He was a player's coach. Fun, you know, if you did well, he's the type of guy that would just jump up and down, You know, if you did something wrong, man, he would just eat you alive. So he was a good coach, and we never thought anything like that.
Yeah. Well, your history as a great athlete, and as I said before, many of the Thorpes are that, and it does continue through your son. So your son's at Happy Valley now. Tell us about your son.
Yeah, my son is CJ Thorpe. CJ stands for Chris Jr., and he's number 69, right offensive guard. He's a redshirt freshman now. Came in at 6'5", 325 pounds. A big kid, fast. You know, he's a 3.7 GPA student. So he does well in the classroom, and he's having a good experience.
And you said offensive line?
He's playing offensive guard right now. Mm-hmm. They're considering possibly moving him over to defense next year. He got a little mean streak in him. But right now, he's solid at that right guard.
Cool. Yeah. Well, you know, and just to add another 2 cents to the equation, when Terry Smith was coaching at Gateway.
Right.
We did, and I was working with the Pittsburgh Explosion, the ABA basketball team, doing promotions, and Terry was good enough to have the team there. And we did a exhibition game against the Gateway teachers and coaches and all that. And Terry's son, Justin,
yep.
For whatever reason, was in the house or around or whatever. I can't remember all the details. But to show you the kind of guy Coach Paterno was, we got a jammed house because we had some ex-Steelers there. Lewis Lips was playing, and Myron Brown was playing, and all these different guys, packed house. And I was coaching the team that played against the Gateway team, and I was sitting on the bench, not standing out at all, packed house. And Terry had invited Joanne for this, that, or the other. And I'm sure in that moment he had no clue as to who I was, but he actually walked over and greeted me as if he did remember telling me in that moment that I wouldn't be able to play at Penn State. And he made me feel like he actually remembered who I was, and of course all the thousands of kids that he's seen.
Yeah.
But it spoke to the man, the person, the genuine person who cared about people, who was involved in and all that went on in Penn State football. And sorry to see it go down like that. But that being said,
I'm sorry, what was that? I'm sorry. Because, you know, in the beginning you had me say everything that you said was correct.
Didn't I tell you?
So now you're going, wrong.
I believe what I believe.
That we are probably the best team, right?
Well, we're going to find out.
Oh, yeah, this is like...
But let me go to Red.
This is the line in the land.
Hey.
Wait. What'd you say? Because I don't know if the mic... Did the microphone pick that up? Say that again, Chris.
It's the line in the land.
Well, we invited a Penn State cat and a Pitt cat here for a reason. So we're going to mix it up a little bit. But let me reintroduce Reggie Smith. And you got to be careful, Chris, because that New Jersey thing is still in him. You know, they cut people in New Jersey,
there's,
man.
There's some honesty, some of the stuff he's saying.
All right. Well, Reg, welcome to the show. But give us some background, Reg, out of New Jersey. What high school in New Jersey?
Bayonne High School.
Okay.
Bayonne High School, you know, 4 years. I got recruited by everybody for football. That's true. Football, basketball, as well as baseball. So, you know, we like to play all sports up there.
Camden-like? Well,
like Jersey City.
Okay.
No, that right, we do it up there.
All right.
But, you know, after that, I chose Pitt. You know, Coach Fazio was one of the greatest coaches to me that ever coached. He was a good guy. You know, actually speaking of what Chris was saying, Penn State was another school that those were the two schools I broke my choices down to, because I had a cousin, Walker Ashley, that just played at Penn State. And that's one of the reasons I was about to go there, but then Coach Faze came and told me, Reg, you don't got to put 40 pounds on. You can come and play at the size you are, and I want you to play this position, because Joe Paterno told me I was going to put 40 pounds on, I was going to redshirt a year, and I was going to play down defensive end, just like your cousin. And I was like, yeah, that's not for me. That wasn't for me. That one wasn't for me. But you know, after that, I think it was a good choice going to Pitt. I had a great time there. You know, back then we had some good teams. You know, in my 4 years there, we went 2-1-1 versus these guys.
So you mean Pitt 1-2.
Yes.
Penn State 1-1, and you tied 1.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that means you won during the time you were there.
My tenure.
That's good.
Let me go back to Chris. Now, you running back linebacker,
right,
going in, but right, what was your intent? You know, where did you plan on staying?
You mean in reference to what?
What position was it?
Well, I went as a running back, and I was probably a running back for about 3 weeks. One thing, and you're right about Joe. Joe will switch you in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
In a minute. And I got there, and I had DJ Dozier, yes, Blair Thomas, David Clark. I had these guys.
And what were the years again?
This was 85 to 89.
85 to 89.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and national championships in there.
86, right?
86.
Okay, so you probably played with my homeboy, Marcus Henderson, from Aliquippa.
Little Mark.
Yeah, Little Mark. Safety. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Great.
Very, very good friend of mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Why is it
going to
be an Aliquippa?
Hey, we're everywhere, man. We're everywhere.
All family.
Thank you.
Every show is an Aliquippa.
I can't help it when you have it like that, man.
Everybody in Aliquippa play football every week. There's a cat.
Yeah, we're all over the place, Bill.
Yeah, man.
Can't argue with Aliquippa.
It came out of there.
And the legends that came out of there. Yeah. Although there is some argument as to whether or not Tony Dorsett actually came out of Aliquippa or Hopewell.
Now, that's a continual argument.
That's no continual argument. What high school did you go to again?
I went to Fox Chapel.
Fox Chapel. You went
to High School in New Jersey.
Okay, so again, I explained to my co-host Bill Neal here, the city of Pittsburgh. There's not only one high school in the city of Pittsburgh. No. There's Shinley.
There's a lot.
There's Oliver. There's Perry. There's Carrot, a number of high schools. Right. So Aliquippa is no different. Tony Dorsett is from Aliquippa. He just went to another high school.
Well, okay.
So, I have cousins that did the same thing from Aliquippa. Went to another school.
So he grew up in Aliquippa.
Exactly.
Just went to another high school.
Exactly.
Okay. I know. I just wanted to clear it. I know that.
Right off
Brent,
the bat,
does
you're
it make
curious,
sense?
Right?
No, it does make sense. I wouldn't know that. That's the only thing I'm saying. How they did it. Because
exactly.
You know, like how high schools recruit.
Yeah. Right? So was he recruited?
No, he wasn't recruited. He lived, Hopewell is a township. Aliquippa is a city.
Is it close to Aliquippa?
It's in Aliquippa. Hopewell is in Aliquippa. The way that people that go to.
Hopewell?
Because it's a township.
Okay.
Okay, just like, isn't, you have Penn Township. For Penn Hills, right?
Penn Hills.
It's a township.
But Penn Hills is not in Pittsburgh.
But it belongs to a city. What city does it belong to?
It doesn't belong to the city of Pittsburgh. It is a municipality in and of itself.
Well, that's Allegheny County anyway. In Beaver County, I'm not sure how it works in Allegheny County. But in Beaver County, if you have a township, you belong to
a
city.
You can have him.
I explain this to him all the time.
You don't have this on tape, too, do you?
I do. You want me to go back? I can go back and find it, too.
So, Reg, when you got to Pitt, tradition was already engraved. I mean, you were coming. I mean, certainly in Penn State as well. But you came to Penn. When you came to Pitt, there was some big shoes to fill.
Oh yeah, we definitely had some shoes to fill. That was the year they went 11-1. Dan Marino's senior year, and I think they won in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
That year and
the deep ball.
Yes.
And your years again, Reggie?
My years were 83 to 87.
83 to 87. Got you. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Did you have somebody from Aliquippa playing there too?
Probably did.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a couple. I had Pete Short with Aliquippa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We had Pete in.
Yeah, Pete was on the show.
Yeah, he was on the show. Yeah. Safety, number 29. Yeah,
I had his number right after he left.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, there you go, Bill.
Pete was ready to jack somebody up when he was here. He still got a little fire in his butt.
And you probably played with Dwight Collins too then.
I did.
Out of Beaver Falls.
Beaver Falls, yes, sir.
You know what Dwight Collins was? Aside from a great wide receiver.
He was definitely a great athlete.
He was the best two guard on Pitt's campus, and I can't remember who was playing on that basketball team.
Well, I don't know.
But Dwight Collins, I told Dwight, I said, Dwight, you need to be across the street because you're the best two guard on campus.
Yeah, he was.
That boy could hoop, man.
He was very good.
Great athlete.
We had some people back then called George Allen.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they might have gave Dwight some work. Yeah, they might have gave him some work.
Yeah, that was –
That was the 83. They didn't come until the next year, but George Allen was already there.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, that.
Billy
that,
Culberson and a couple of them.
Well, them boys could play, too.
Yeah,
but Dwight was a beast. High. So, dreams fulfilled at Pitt?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had a good time. Coach Faze did the best for me he could. Started 2 years there. Actually, I got hurt my senior year. But like you said, we finished it out. Coach Faze let me come back for a year to get my degree afterwards. After that, I started working on the north side in Pittsburgh at Manchester Citizens. Started doing a lot of community work. Then that's when I met you with the Champions Association. Mm-hmm. And we started doing a lot of recreational leagues around the city for at-risk youth kids, 12 to 18. And at that time, was a lot of gang problems going on. And the Mayor Murphy at the time chose me to talk to a lot of them cats because I knew a lot of them and grew up. They were like in my programs, work programs that we were doing. And we decided to go that route to try to make these guys come to the table and sit together and talk it out instead of killing each other. And from then on, I went on, moved on to youth places and been doing that type of work ever since.
Yeah, you were in the thick of it with the gang activity. Oh, yeah. Some of us working out of Homewood caught it in the beginning, mm-hmm. but admittedly did not get into the thick of it. But you guys were in the thick of it when it was life and death.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember several of the times that you were outspoken about some things and coordinating and running some things that truly affected the lives of some of these young kids. So hats off for that. Well, look, my interest in having you guys here, and we'll get into it knee-deep after we come off the break, is your assessment of your team's programs today. And, we'll get into a little prediction on what's going to happen on Saturday. And I'd like to hear a little bit more about some of your days on campus, if you will. If memory serves me right, Reg, rowdy's too strong a word, but those were the busy days on the Pitt campus, if Absolutely. Memory serves me right. And of course, as everyone knows, there's never any misgivings going on in Happy Valley. That's always a even tone location with no trouble.
Very low key. Yeah. Very mellow at Penn State.
Very mellow to be
football
sure.
Football team didn't do anything.
But before we go to break, I just wanted to get everybody's opinion on two things. Surely everybody saw McLean, Senator McCain's burial and funeral, rather, and all that was said, and as well Aretha Franklin. So just your opinion on both. I'm curious to know how you felt about in the aftermath of everything.
Well, let me start with Aretha Franklin. First of all, it's music you grew up on. Mother and father used to play that all the time.
Couldn't
get out the house without hearing some of her work. But she was a great woman, well-respected, and you can see by the turnout that this lady was loved by many. As far as John McCain, didn't know much about him, but I can tell you one thing. By the turnout of his, he was a stand-up guy, and he believed in doing the right thing. And I guess he's shown that all his career. And I love the way they eulogized him, especially Barack Obama.
Agreed.
He did a great job.
Agreed. Chris?
I agree. I think McCain's his funeral was, I think it spoke a lot for who he was and what he represented. In reference to Aretha, I think a wonderful woman. Totally too long of a funeral. I thought that was just excessive.
Well, rumor has it that it's going to be a weekly series.
Well, it should. I mean, it was excessive. It was just too much. I think it got a little too political with her eulogy. I think it didn't speak to her or about her. I think that the Reverend spoke around it to a lot of other issues. But she was a wonderful woman.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll end it on that.
Kev, you want to jump in on that?
Well, we talked about it last week, so you have my sentiment, so I'm good.
Okay. And to the bishop that misunderstood what grande means, the vocalist, the female vocalist, what's Ariana Grande? The bishop.
Taco?
Huh?
Like the little taco comment?
No. Well, he was a little grabby.
He thought grande. He may have thought grande grand. Yeah, he was a little grabby, so he had to do
he
some
slipped up a little bit.
Yeah, he had to do some backing up. But yeah. I agree. You know, somebody said, oftentimes a funeral becomes about those present, not those who have departed. And it was in that case. But I couldn't agree more, Reg. I thought Barack Obama made it clear that this man helped bring together both sides of the aisle and all kinds of people, and thank goodness they left Trump's behind at home, because he couldn't be a more destructive force. But speaking of destructive force, I want all of you that have heard the first segment here tonight, forget anything you heard that discredited me. There's some kind of error in the tapage, and we'll correct that, and we'll be right back to do that in a moment.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? No, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com. You can thank us later.